Chapter 3. A New Law for the Swiss. A few days after this, Hedwig gave Tell a lecture on the subject of his love for adventure while he was sitting at the door of his house fixing an axe. Hedwig, as usual, was washing up, and Walter and William were playing with a little crossbow not far off.
"Father," said Walter.
"Yes, my boy."
"The string of my bow is broken."
"You must repair it yourself, my boy," said Tell. "A hunter always helps himself."
"What I say," remarked Hedwig, stepping out of the house, "is that a boy of his age shouldn't be shooting. I don't like it."
"Nobody can shoot well if he does not begin to practice early. Why, when I was a boy, I remember on one occasion..."
"What I say," interrupted Hedwig, "is that a boy of his age should not always want to be shooting and whatnot. He ought to stay home and help his mother. I wish you would set a better example for them."
"Well, the fact is, you know," said Tell, "I don't think nature meant me to be a stay-at-home or anything like that. I couldn't be a farmer if you paid me. I wouldn't know what to do. No, everyone has his special skill, and mine is hunting."
"A nasty, dangerous occupation," said Hedwig. "I don't like to hear about you being lost on isolated mountains or leaping from rock to rock and whatnot. Someday, mark my words, if you are not careful, you will fall off a cliff or be buried by an avalanche, or the ice will break while you are on it. There are 1,000 ways in which you might get hurt."
"A man with an active mind and a quick eye," replied Tell casually, "never gets hurt. The mountain does not strike fear in the heart of her children, and I am a child of the mountain."
"You are certainly a child," snapped Hedwig. "It is no use arguing with you."
"Not very much," agreed Tell, "for I am just off to town. I have an appointment with your father and some other gentleman." Hedwig was the daughter of Walter First.
"Now what are you and father plotting?" asked Hedwig. "I know there is something going on. I suspected it when father brought Werner Stauffacher and that other man here, and you wouldn't let me listen. What is it? Some dangerous scheme, I suppose?"
"Now, how in the world did you get that idea?" Tell laughed. "A dangerous scheme. As if I would plot dangerous schemes with your father."
"I know," said Hedwig. "You can't fool me. There is a plot against the governor, and you are in on it."
"A man must help his country."
"They're sure to place you where there is most danger. I know them. Don't go. Send Walter down with a note to say that you regret that an unfortunate previous engagement, which you have just remembered, will make it impossible for you to accept their kind invitation to plot."
"No, I must go."
"And there is another thing," continued Hedwig. "Gessler is in the town now."
"He goes away today."
"Well, wait until he has gone, because you must not let him see you. He wants to take revenge on you."
"His resentment cannot harm me. I do what's right, and I fear no enemy."
"Those who do right," said Hedwig, "are those he hates the most. And you know he has never forgiven you for speaking like that when you met him on the mountain. Keep away from the town for today. Do anything else, but not that. You could even go hunting."
"No," said Tell. "I promised, so I must go. Come along, Walter."
"You aren't going to take that poor dear child? Come here, Walter, right this minute."
"I want to go with father," said Walter, beginning to cry, for his father had promised to take him with him the next time he went to the town, and he had saved his pocket money for the occasion.
"Oh, let the boy come," said Tell. "William will stay with you, won't you, William?"
"All right, father," said William.
"Well, mark my words," said Hedwig. "If something bad does not happen, I shall be surprised."
"Oh, no," said Tell. "What could happen?" And without further delay, he set off with Walter for the town. In the meantime, all kinds of things of which Tell had no knowledge had been happening in the town. The fact that there were no newspapers in Switzerland at that time often made him a little behind with regard to the latest events. He depended on visits from his friends, who would sit in his kitchen and tell him all about everything that had been going on for the last few days.
And, of course, when there was anything very exciting happening in the town, nobody had time to walk up the hill to Tell's house. They all wanted to be in the town enjoying the fun. What had happened now was this. Gessler, who you will remember, was not a nice man. Liked, when he had a few moments to spare from his job taking money from the Swiss with taxes, to sit down and think out some new way of annoying the Swiss people. He was one of those people who liked to do things because they annoyed others. His favorite way of being annoying was to prohibit things. He would find out what the people most enjoyed doing, and then he would send a herald to say that he was very sorry, but it must stop. He found that this annoyed the Swiss more than anything, but now he was out of ideas because he had banned everything he could think of. He had prohibited dancing, singing, and playing any sort of musical instrument, because these things made noise and disturbed people who wanted to work. He had banned eating everything except bread and the simplest sorts of meat, because he said that anything else upset people and made them unfit to do anything except sit still and say how ill they were. And he had prohibited all sorts of games, because he said they were a waste of time. Therefore now, although he had an urge to prohibit something else, he could not think of anything. Then he had an idea, and this is what it was. He told his servants to cut a long pole, and they did. Then he said to them, "Go into the hall and bring me one of my hats. Not my best hat, which I wear on Sundays and on special occasions, nor my second best, which I wear every day, nor the one I wear when I'm out hunting, because I need all of those. Fetch me, rather, the oldest of my hats." And they fetched him his very oldest hat. Then he said, "Put it on top of the pole." And they put it right on top of the pole. Last of all, he said, "Go and set up the pole in the middle of the field, just outside the gates of the town." And so they went and set up the pole in the very middle of that field. Then he sent his heralds out to the north, south, east, and west to gather the people together, because he said he had something very important and special to say to them. And the people came in the hundreds. Men, women, and children came and stood waiting in front of the palace steps for the governor to come out and say something very important and special to them. And at 11 o'clock on the dot, Gessler, having finished an excellent breakfast, came out and addressed them. "Ladies and gentlemen," he began. A voice from the crowd shouted, "Speak up!" "Ladies and gentlemen," he began again, in a louder voice. "If I could catch the man who said speak up, I would have wild elephants bite him in the neck." Clapping came from the crowd. "I've called you to this place today to explain to you my reason for putting up a pole with a hat on it in the field just outside the city gates. This is the reason. You all respect and love me, I know." Here he paused for the audience to cheer, but they remained quite silent, so he went on. "I know that you would all like to come to my palace every day and worship me." A voice said, "No, no." "If I could catch the man who said no, no, I would have poisonous spiders bite him on the bottom of his feet. And if he was the same man who said speak up a little while ago, the number of spiders would be doubled." Loud clapping. "As I was saying before I was interrupted, I know you would like to come to my palace and worship me there. But as there are many of you and space is limited, I am obliged to refuse you that pleasure. However, because I am anxious not to disappoint you, I have set up my cap in the field, and you may worship that. Actually, you must. Everybody is to treat that cap like it was me." A voice called out, "It isn't as ugly as you." "If I could catch the man who made that remark," continued Gessler, "I would tie him up and have trained flies annoy him." Loud clapping. "In fact, to put the matter briefly, if anybody walks across that field without bowing down before that cap, my soldiers will arrest him, and I will have angry birds attack him. Soldiers, move that crowd." Gessler disappeared indoors again, just as a bunch of eggs and tomatoes whistled through the air, and the soldiers began to push the crowd down the streets until the open space in front of the palace gates was clear. All this happened the day before Tell and Walter set out for the town.